Greetings, my American friends and conservative allies. I am the Right Rabbit, and you are listening to the Hard Right Show. The date is February 4th, 2006, and this is episode number 15. Today's summary of stories includes story number one, DNC Chair Howard Dean displays colossal ignorance. Story number two, Germans propose anti-diversity policies. Number three, Hollywood in tatters. Number four, good news uncovered. And story number five, the pro-insurgency press. Today's hero salute is for Marine Corps Corporal Christopher Rogowski. Help is on the way, buddy. Hang in there. We're also working on getting some more necessities to you as well. Story number one. This from Newsmax, dated February 4th, 2006. Senate Intel Chair slams irresponsible Howard Dean. The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Pat Roberts, Republican of Kansas, is blasting DNC Chief Howard Dean for criticizing President Bush's terrorist surveillance program, saying the top Democrat's comparison to Watergate is both irrational and irresponsible. Oh, folks, that description is only scratching the surface. Howard Dean is DNC chair for one reason and one reason only. The kook left base of his party have money. They have money to donate, and they want their kook calling the shots. You know, this is a great example of what McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform has done. Now that the 527s are the ones who can raise unrestricted money and say whatever they want, politicians had better dance when they say dance, or they're going to find themselves out of a job real soon. You know, at least the conservative and Republican 527s are pro-American, pro-victory, pro-life, pro-defense, and pro-freedom. You know, given the alternative on the left side of the aisle, which side do you think appeals to most Americans? Last week, Dean complained that President Bush's secret program, which he told Congress about before he did it, to spy on the American people, and here Dr. Dean equates American people with known Al-Qaeda operatives, reminds Americans of the abuse of power during the dark days of President Nixon and Vice President Spiro Agnew. Dr. Dean, you forgot to mention Bobby Kennedy's activities under Presidents Kennedy and Johnson. Yeah, I wonder why. On Friday, Roberts fired back. Any suggestion that a program designed to track the movement, location, plans, or intentions of our enemy, particularly those that have infiltrated our borders, is equivalent to abusive domestic surveillance of the past, is ludicrous. Roberts reminded Dean that what Presidents Kennedy and Johnson did in wiretapping Martin Luther King was far worse than anything Bush has even accused of doing. Those presidents were targeting American citizens based on activities protected by the First Amendment. Roberts also noted that before World War II broke out, President Roosevelt ordered the use of domestic electronic surveillance to target persons suspected of subversive activities. As President Roosevelt noted, it is too late to do anything about it after sabotage, assassinations, and other fifth column activities are completed. Slam dunk. End of argument. Dr. Dean, in his zealous opposition to the president, and anything else that makes sense, is openly inviting another 9/11 attack. These Democrats wail on about how the dunce barbecue jockey President Bush and his evil genius Karl Rove didn't connect the dots before 9/11 happened. And what are these kooks complaining about now? They're complaining that we're connecting the dots. Never mind, we've already thwarted two planned attacks, including one on the Brooklyn Bridge in the heart of liberalism known as New York City. No matter how many times they urinate on the electric fence, these extra-chromosomal imbeciles will never learn. You know, I apologize for that one, folks. You know, to call Democrats extra-chromosomal imbeciles is insulting to extra-chromosomal imbeciles. I can only ask for your forgiveness. Significantly, said Roberts, President Roosevelt's direction was issued despite a statute, also known as a law to those of you on the left, Section 605 of the Communications Act of 1934, and Supreme Court precedent, United States versus Nardone, 302 U.S. 379 in 1937, that prohibited such wiretapping. You know, there were a lot of things prescribed by law that didn't affect FDR's decisions. You know, let's face facts, folks. He was desperately trying to spark the economy with government programs and controls. The law was something of a nuisance to him. You know, what we know now is that he would have been far more effective by getting government out of the way of industry and innovation. You know, go take an economics course at your local college if you think I'm just blowing smoke at you. When President Bush exercised his constitutional authority and responsibility as commander-in-chief to target international communications between potential terrorists within this country and Al-Qaeda members overseas, he recognized, just like President Roosevelt, that after a terrorist attack occurs, it is too late. Senator Roberts, you are asking too much. You are asking irrational partisan fanatics to acknowledge common sense. The Democrats are incapable of admitting they have been wrong, and you are mistaken to ask them to. Let them keep talking. Story number two, this from UPI, February 3rd, 2006. The headline reads, "No German, no money." Foreigners without sufficient German language skills living in Bavaria may face a cut in social benefits if they refuse to learn German. Bavaria's Interior Minister, Günter Beckstein, told the Daily Taz he supported changing immigration laws and its regulations dealing with the integration of foreigners. What? They are trying to make immigrants assimilate into German culture in Germany? Folks, I don't know what the Germans are thinking here. They obviously have to learn about cultural diversity and all the glorious improvements to society that come with it. To ask that an immigrant learns the native language, that's just not right. If someone is jobless and he has a hard time getting a job because he has insufficient German skills, then he should take German courses. If he doesn't do that, then his benefits have to be cut. Beckstein also said he was for introducing an immigrant test similar to one introduced in the neighboring state of Baden-Württemberg last month. He said immigrants trying for a German passport should be asked about ties to extremist organizations. Well, what? That's an invasion of privacy. They shouldn't be asking those kind of questions. That's profiling, and it's wrong. We have a high interest not to nationalize the wrong people. The law-abiding Turkish employee often has a much lower interest in getting a German citizenship than an extremist who is keen on a German passport because he can travel much more freely. Beckstein of the Conservative Christian Social Union is considered a hardliner on immigration. Oh, now that explains it. These are evil conservative initiatives. Imagine if they were proposed in, say, the United States. Story number three, this from Newsmax, February 3rd, 2006. The headline reads, "Sandy Berger, Bush breaking the military." Disgraced former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger is blasting President Bush for undermining U.S. defenses by breaking the military. You know, you gotta love a news story quoting Democrats, and begins the article with the word disgraced. A just-released report co-authored by Berger and several other top Clinton administration officials complains, "We believe that the Bush administration has broken faith with the American soldier and Marine." Evidently, sailors and airmen are doing just fine. You know, these boobs can't even speak military jargon correctly. How are we to have confidence in what they say about military affairs? The word, you pacifist dolts, is servicemen. According to the website ISN Security Watch, the report by Berger and company contends that Bush administration's poor planning ahead of the Iraq War, a shortage of troops, and not enough equipment or protection for troops could result in breaking the force. If I were running the ISN Security Watch website, I wouldn't just run with a report penned by such notorious dupes. The disgraced Clinton official offered his national security criticisms despite pleading guilty less than a year ago to stealing and destroying top-secret national security documents in a bid to thwart the 9/11 Commission investigation. Whoa! Well, this story sure ain't from the New York Times. Other ex-Clinton officials who contributed to the report include former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, former Defense Secretary William Perry, and former presidential candidate General Wesley Clark. You know, does anybody really think this batch of doves know anything about the military? Even General Clark is a paranoid idiot, according to those who served under him. You know, that's the benefit of working in the defense sector, folks. You hear a lot of things that the press never hears. Story number 4 from the New York Daily News, February 1st, 2006. Stars say Democrats flop on Alito courts, a disaster. Wow, that's a keen observation. The Democrats better get it together. Even Hollywood's most ardent Bush bashers think the party can't marshal its forces. Alec Baldwin is appalled that Senator Ted Kennedy and other liberals could muster only 25 of the 41 votes needed for a filibuster to block Samuel Alito's Supreme Court confirmation. Oh, damn that democracy thing. How are liberals supposed to jam their programs down our throats when they need a majority of votes to do it? Losers. The problem, he told us at Tuesday's meeting of the Oxonian Society, is the number of chicken bleep Democrats in the Senate. We have a bunch of budding Zell Millers down there, and I loathe and despise them on a daily basis. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alec, it's easy to see how people like Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy and John Kerry, they can all be ideologically aligned with Zell Miller. And these Hollywood numbnuts can't understand for the life of them why we don't take their political arguments seriously. Meanwhile, Meryl Streep needs a dose of Prozac. I'm so demoralized, she told us at the Broadway opening of Sarah Jones' brilliant Bridge and Tunnel. Well, good. Now you know what it feels like to be in a minority. You didn't seem to care much about the minority when it was populated by Republicans. Streep has yet to be inspired by any of the likely Democratic presidential candidates. Her requirements are simple. I want a candidate to come out of nowhere and have no conflicts. I want major campaign reform. I want Jesus to come back and throw the moneylenders out. Meryl, the only way you're going to see that happen is in a movie. Turning serious, Streep revealed that she has a nephew in the military who's bound for Iraq.
Everybody in the administration should have a kid in that conflict, she said. Then they'll know how they feel about it.
Well, Meryl, you ditzy half-wit reprobate. I have an uncle with 3 Purple Hearts from France in World War II. My dad went into the army during Korea. Now, I was too young for Vietnam, but I was active duty for Gulf War I, as was my brother and my sister-in-law and my cousin Danny. My wife's brother has already completed one combat tour in Afghanistan, and he's getting ready to go to Iraq for another one in May. My wife also has 3 more cousins on active duty in the Army and the Navy. You know, the problem isn't that we don't know how we feel about sending good men into harm's way to conquer real evil. The problem is that you don't know what it's like because you and your fellow ideologues haven't done it in more than 50 years. You know, I pray for your nephew, but you can go into a dark corner and suck eggs while the rest of us do the heavy lifting. You know, I wonder if she's a member of Hugs from Home. Anyone want to make a wager? Story number 4, this from UPI, February 2nd, 2006. Iraq casualty rates falling. The casualty rate in Iraq is at its lowest for nearly 2 years, a senior U.S. general said Thursday. Now, wait a minute, folks. I thought that the Democrats have been saying we are losing the peace. This doesn't affirm that sentiment. For most of January, the casualty rate in Iraq was at the lowest rate since the spring of 2004. A multinational force Iraq spokesman told reporters in a televised briefing from Baghdad. In January, there were 19 days where the number of casualties were lower than 50, and that's the lowest rate we've seen since the spring of 2004, Army Major General Rick Lynch said, according to a report carried by the American Forces Press Service. If you study total casualty numbers, and these casualty numbers include coalition, civilian, and Iraqi security force casualties, the month of January had about 1,600 casualties, he said. Now, to give you some perspective, U.S. casualties accounted for about 3% of total casualties. I just want you to know who the insurgents are attacking. By comparison, November, December, and January had monthly casualty totals of 1,000 less than October and less than half those recorded in May of 2004, Lynch said. You can see a significant trend line down in the number of casualties, coalition, civilian, and Iraqi security force casualties. You know, I suppose this tells us that the war in Iraq is not going as badly as the Democrats have hoped. Story number 5, this in from the UPI, February 2nd, 2006. Rumsfeld blames free media on InfoWar. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld Thursday blamed the independent U.S. media for problems in the information war. Rumsfeld, in a Department of Defense statement, acknowledged that the United States had so far not been successful enough in the information and public diplomacy struggle it was waging worldwide against Al-Qaeda and other extreme Islamist movements. He acknowledged that the Islamist groups had enjoyed major success in psychological warfare and information operations, and that there had been major U.S. official shortcomings in those areas. Now, if you don't think we are fighting a real enemy, take notice of what they are doing. They are using PSYOPs and IW against us. However, Rumsfeld then claimed that the U.S. government and armed forces were at an unfair disadvantage because they feared critics in the domestic U.S. media that limited the freedom of the U.S. government to put out information that could mislead America's enemies and to act freely without setting off storms of criticism. You know, these are the same skunks who reported it was unfair that the Department of Defense paid some Iraqi newspapers to print factual, pro-American news stories. Now, why did the press outlets have such a tissy fit about having the truth printed in Iraq? Let's see. What's it called when you bury the news or otherwise withhold information from the public? Oh, yeah, censorship. I thought that the press was against censorship. Not so when the news is good for Republicans. You know, hypocrites is a term too weak to describe the majority of modern American journalists. How do we compete in this struggle in a way that can counter the ability of the enemy to lie, which we can't do, and the ability of the enemy to not have a free media criticizing them? You don't see much criticizing of them, Rumsfeld said. You don't even see the American media criticizing the enemy much, never mind the crap oozing out of Al Jazeera. Rumsfeld also claimed that the risk of being condemned by the U.S. press has a negative effect on the U.S. Army. You know, folks, what happened to the good old days when we used to just hang our traitors? And these dopes wonder why we question their patriotism. Folks, I have a favor to ask of you. I want you to go to www.hugsfromhome.org. Hugs from Home is an organization that pairs you up with a hero serving our country and others in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kosovo. Now, if you want to just cut a check and be done with it, well, then Hugs from Home is probably not the organization for you. Supporting our troops takes more effort than sticking a magnetic ribbon on your car. It takes more effort than that, and Hugs from Home is an excellent way for you to really support our troops. Mrs. Rabbit and I are active members, and I hope that you too will become active members. Let's all make sure that no hero goes uncalled at mail call. Thanks, friends, and I know you won't let our guys down. Hey, you're listening to this show. That just proves you are a patriotic American. You can check out The Hard Right Show at hardrightshow.libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN. And if you do, please fill out the audience survey, folks. It would help me out a lot. Go ahead and leave feedback on the site, too. We'd love to hear from you. You can also drop us a voicemail at area code 206-339-8493. That's 206-339-8493. Or you can also email us at onerightrabbit@gmail.com. Start it with the number one. Thanks, folks. The Hard Right Show is licensed Creative Commons Attribution 2.5. This is the Right Rabbit, signing off.